We began a couple of weeks ago talking about carpe diem. We're going to continue that. The word carpe diem means seize the day. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. Let me welcome our campuses that are joining with us. My name is Eddie Couples, and I am the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And I'm glad that you are there today. We're excited about what God is doing at every campus. In fact, I'm going to be at the Adamsville campus tonight at 6 o'clock to minister, as well as to do an installation service for Pastor Scott and Jennifer Melson. So if you're in that area, we welcome you to come tonight at 6 o'clock and to be a part of that as well. Let's make our confession together. We've been doing, if the sound guy could give me a little bit more on this mic. Let's do it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Now take that living Word, if you would, and go to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. And we began a couple of weeks ago talking about this whole aspect of seizing the day, that you and I are called by God to take authority over our day and how that we go about doing that. And a lot of Christians don't realize that the power that is going to be activated in their life comes through prayer. And so we begin the first week talking about there where Jesus said, hey guys, don't be like the heathens who think they're going to be heard for their much speaking. He goes through the whole process there of teaching us how to pray. And we talked about what prayer wasn't, but also what prayer is. And then we began last week in the 9th verse, and I want to start there again today. So would you just look at that, and let's see it. It says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And other gospels say, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now last week we began there talking about that there is a protocol to come into the presence of God. The Bible says it this way. It says that you are to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so we begin there where the Bible says, when you pray, here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we talked about how you start off thanking the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed and how you're saved. I'm not going to re-preach that this morning. But then we go into the part of where we come into his presence with praise, which is hallowing or setting apart the name of God. And we looked at the Old Testament compound names of God that talked about that he's Jehovah Nissi, our banner. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and on and on and on. And how that, as you're coming into his presence with thanksgiving, then you go into his courts praising him for who he is and what he has done on your behalf. But then today, the process goes on, because remember I told you that Jesus didn't want us just to repeat this prayer. And that's what the church has done now for a long time. You know, let's all stand. Let's say, if you grew up in a certain tradition, every service in the bulletin, or at some point of the service, you would stand and you would repeat, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Right? And it's kind of your brain was in neutral. You weren't even thinking about what you were saying. You just said it. Why? Because that's what you were supposed to do. And yet we talked about how that the rabbis of that time would give a broad outline, but each part of what they were talking about had a subsection to it, and I'm kind of showing you what the subsection is to each of this. So he starts off, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then he goes in what we're going to talk about today. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when we hear that word kingdom, a lot of times we don't really know what it means. A lot of people think about the kingdom of God, that it's the sweet by and by. One day we'll be with Jesus and thank the Lord. That's the kingdom of God. And yet what you find is the very first sermon that Jesus preached. How many of you know that your inaugural sermon, if you're a Jesus, is probably going to be pretty important? Right? The very first thing he preached, listen to what he said. Here was his first sermon. Repent or change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived. Go read it. That's his first sermon that he preaches once he starts his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived. Well, now, what is this kingdom of God? If it's not the sweet by and by, if the kingdom of God has already arrived, what is it? Well, here it is. The kingdom of God is his presence, okay? Wherever his presence is, his kingdom is, okay? When Jesus lives in our heart, then the kingdom is manifested through us. So let's kind of get a fresher understanding of the kingdom of God. I heard somebody say a few years back that when you hear or when you read the word kingdom of God, translate that or change that to God's way of doing things. When I think about that for a minute, every kingdom has a certain way of doing things, right? If you leave here today and you go to London, England, if you drive the way you do here, well, some of you, if you drive the way, we wouldn't go there. Let's back that train up. If you drive on the side of the road that you do here, you're going to be in serious trouble really quick. Why? Because that kingdom operates differently than we do here. So every kingdom operates differently. So how does the kingdom of God operate? Now, it's interesting to me that Jesus said, hey, every day. Now, we do know this is a daily prayer because next week we're going to be looking at give us this day our daily bread, right? So that means it's a daily prayer. It's interesting to me that God said to us that when Jesus is talking here, he said, every day I want you to pray. Now think about this. He said, every day I want you to pray, kingdom of God come, will of God be done. Now, how many of you have ever heard somebody say, well, you know, if God wants it to happen, it's just going to happen. Ever heard that? If God's will is going to be done. Can I mess with your world for a minute? Are you ready? There are a lot of things that are God's will that are not being done right now. You may prove it to you? Let me give you a scripture. It'll prove it to you. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? So the will of God on this earth right now today is that every person, every individual is saved. How many of you know that's not happening? Right? Any of you got any good heathen friends? People who don't know Jesus, right? Okay. And so we know that the will of God is not being done. People say, well, you know, if it's up to God, it's going to happen. God wants it to happen. No. Wait a minute. Do you remember in Scripture where the Bible says that at the crucifixion that Jesus cried out, it is finished, and the Bible says in 40 days later, he ascended upon high and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. So what the Lord is telling us is that it's up to you, it's up to me, it's up to the church, it's up to believers to establish the kingdom of God. If we want the kingdom of God upon this earth, it's up to us to bring it. Wow. Well, it really is going to be good. I know you're nervous. All right? Let me just prove it to you. How many of you know that God set certain things in order back in the book of Genesis? One of those, he said every day that there's going to be daylight, and there's going to be the sun's going to shine, there's going to be a moon at night, right? That set it every 24 hours. The sun's coming up, the moon's coming up. God set that in order. He never tells you, now when you get up in the morning, here's what I want you to do. Because if you don't do this, it's not going to happen. You need to pray, sun, come up. Right? Does he tell us to do that? No, because he has ordained it to happen. But he tells us if we want the kingdom of God to come and we want the will of God to be done, then it is up to me, it is up to us whether or not it is going to happen. Now, we don't like to hear that. We want to just say, well, I just believe God's going to do it. And I just want to tell you, he's not. He's already done what he's going to do. The Bible says he gave us the keys of the kingdom, that whatsoever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we release upon the earth will be released in the heavenlies. You ready? Are you okay? You can speak in tongues all day long and still not have the kingdom of God coming. You can run around the church. You can shout. You can do all the things that we have called religious liberty and exercise, and none of that is going to produce the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God comes when you and I establish it in areas of our life, and I want to talk about four of those areas that I believe that on a daily basis we need to establish the will of God. First of all, we need to establish the kingdom of God and the will of God in ourselves, first of all. How many of you know that it's needful for you to start it here and not out there? Right? I got to start on my stuff first. Right? So how do I do that? Well, first of all, is that I need to be sure that I am right before God, number one. Okay? And you're praying, you've been thanking Him for who He is and what He has done, and then you come to this point of the prayer, Lord, I just pray today that Your kingdom come and Your will be done in my life. And all of a sudden, God has a way of showing you some areas. Am I the only one? That just kind of bubbles to the surface, and you realize in that moment that you're not allowing the Lord to rule in your life. And I love to do it this way, and maybe this is a little much for some of you, but I love to, when I'm praying that, to see the Lord Jesus Christ just coming and sitting on the throne of my heart. It's just kind of a mental picture that I get of Jesus coming and establish. I know He's living in me. I got that. But seeing Him establish Himself in my life. And I'm just saying, Lord, today, I just come to You today, and I'm declaring over my life today that Your kingdom is coming and Your will is being done inside of me. And I'm believing today, Lord, that all this stuff, anything that's in me that's unlike You, and I don't know if you're like me, but I got some stuff that's not like Him. Right? And I want to sing that song that we sing sometimes, fill me up, Lord, fill me up. Because I know if He fills me up, He'll drive the junk out. Amen? And so I take a few, and you know, there may be times you pray that and things are going pretty good, and in 2 minutes you're done with that part of the prayer. There's other days in my life I stay there a really long time because I'm establishing the kingdom of God inside of me. You say, don't you believe you're saved? Of course I believe I'm saved. But I also believe that there is a destiny. You know what? When we get to heaven, I don't want us to be disappointed by seeing what we could have had on earth. Amen. Some scholars say that when we get to heaven, and they have some scriptures that they use to prove this. I don't know if I totally agree, but some scholars say when we get to heaven that there's going to be a period of silence in heaven. Now, if that is true, I wonder if it's just because, first of all, there's going to be silence because we made it. We're going to go, thank you, Jesus. You thought it was hot down there. I'm glad I went the other way, right? So that's going to, I think that may be part of it. But I wonder if part of it is, in my brain, again, you got to go with me because I'm preaching the sermon, so go where I go today, all right? In my brain, everybody has a room in heaven. And that room is filled, just go with me for a second, that room is filled with everything you're going to need on earth. And I wonder if in that time of silence, if the Lord is not revealing to us all the stuff that we needed on earth that we never appropriated into our life. He said, you could have had this, you could have been blessed there, but you never established the kingdom of God for yourself, and so you scrape by, and you sung those old songs about being a pilgrim traveling through this land of woe, instead of understanding, I had already purchased everything that you were going to need. The Bible says everything that pertains to life and to godliness is already ours. And so I'm establishing. I'm just saying, Lord, today in my life. Secondly, is that we need to establish God's priorities for our lives. Okay? What are the priorities of God? Now, let me explain how we get there. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom, God's way of doing things, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I don't know, maybe nobody's like this except me, but I have found myself on many occasions making my plans for my day, my week, my month, and then taking it to the Lord and saying, Lord, would you just go ahead and stamp this? Right? I got all this stuff planned, and now, Lord, would you just bless it? You don't believe we do that? Let me help you. You ready? The doctors told us we need to lose weight. Oh, help me, Jesus. Why did I go there, Lord? We go to the restaurant, and we order exceeding abundantly above all. Never heard that scripture used that way, have you? And it gets to the table, and it's like this. And we say, now, Lord, y'all ready? Would you bless this today and nourish it to my strength? And I think the Lord's going, no way am I ever going to touch that. Now let's go eat. No, I'm kidding. The process is that I need to establish the priorities of God before I begin my day. That's why the scripture talks so often about early they would seek him and how Jesus would go out and pray all night long or early in the morning. And I know some of you are not early morning people. I got it. But God's up whenever you are, okay? So taking that time to establish his priorities for your life is needful for you on a daily basis, that we're saying, God, today I establish your priorities. The third thing is you need to pray for the concerns of the day. All right? Maybe you've got a presentation to make before a bunch of business people, or maybe you're going to do surgery today, or whatever your profession is. Some of you getting ready to go back to school as teachers and administrators, and you're getting ready to face a whole new world as those kids come in, those high schoolers come in, or whatever. You ought to pray over the concern, Lord, today. In fact, you might ought to go on some travail and fasting for a few minutes, you know. And coming to that place of saying, Lord, I just ask you to empower me today. Let your abilities operate through me. Let me be efficient today. Let the might and the power of the Almighty God operate. And as you're praying that, what you're doing is that you are establishing the kingdom of God and the priorities of God in your life. And you're saying, in my life, kingdom of God has come and the will of God has been done. And you know what? If you didn't do anything but that on a daily basis, I believe your life would change. If we just took this one part, now there's three other parts, but if we just took this one part every day and we spent time praying over ourselves, I believe it would make a difference in our lives and our families and those who are around us. But we don't stop there. The second thing that we need to pray for is we need to pray for our family. And some days we really need to pray for our families. If you're married, you need to pray for your spouse, for your mate, your husband, or your wife, right? There should have been an amen there. Yes, Lord. Okay? And some days you really need to pray for them real long because they're not acting the way you want them to, right? And if you're not married and you want to be married, pray for God to send you the right one. Because some of you, your aim's off. Your picker broke. You keep getting the wrong one, all right? Cut it out. Say, God, I'm at... Boy, the religious people didn't like that. Come on, Lord, I want the right person. And so you're praying over your mate. You're praying for their lives. You pray over your children if you have children, or your grandchildren, maybe great-grand. And you're just praying in this whole arena for your family. You're praying over other family members, extended family. But this is the time that you take for, you've now prayed for yourself. Now you're coming to that point that you're praying for those who are the closest to you, those who are around you, that you're establishing. Lord, I'm establishing the kingdom of God today. I'm praying over my kids today, that as they go back to school in just a few weeks, that Lord, your mercy is going to be upon them, that your favor is going to rest on them. God, I'm declaring today that there's going to be a hedge of protection about my children and that no harm is going to come to them. No evil is going to befall them. God, I just speak over them. They're going to be protected from drugs and alcohol and violence. Amen. Come on. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be establishing the presence and the power of God over the life of our children, over our family. We need to pray over their needs, and we need to pray for the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit to be in their lives. So we pray, first of all, their needs. Whatever those needs are, Lord, I'm praying today over their needs, over every one of those needs, whatever they are. And again, some of them you're going to know specifically, and you're praying that. And God likes specific prayers. Amen. So whatever it is, you got a kid going back to college and they're needing the right roommate, or you got a child going to college and they're needing some scholarships, or they're needing some grants, or they're needing a rich uncle to give them some money. You don't care how it comes, right? And you're praying, Lord, I pray over my child. They're needing $3,228 to buy two books. Been to college lately, that's about right, okay? And God, you are praying specifically in that moment over their needs. And then you pray that the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit is over their life, that they're going to walk in righteousness today. They're going to have the peace of God, and the joy of the Lord is going to be over their life. Think about this. If righteousness, peace, and joy were to reign in your house, oh, hallelujah, wouldn't that be good? Would that not be wonderful? Amen? It would be great. Sherry's going to be gone for a few days. She's going to see our grandkids this week. And righteousness, peace, and joy will be in the house. No, wait a minute. I'll get out of this. Because when she's there, I mess it up. See, I come in and I bring all kind of stuff. All right, but it's just me. I can't mess it up this week. All right, it's just me and Jesus got our own thing going. Right, but here's what I know. Even if it's just me, I can mess it up. I can bring anger into the. Ain't nobody. There's nobody. Are y'all all right? We okay? We've been married 38 years. I've said a lot worse than that. Okay. I can bring anger, and it's just me. I'm the only one there, but there's anger floating in the air. You understand what I'm saying? And so we're praying over our Lord. We declare today righteousness, peace, and joy. The Bible says it's in the Holy Spirit. We pray that over our families. We pray that over our homes, God. We speak that over everything that we're at. And then lastly, you pray for salvation. I don't know if, I would say most of us have some people in our families that still need to be saved. Amen? There's some children or some grandchildren, there's some in-laws, there's some outlaws, there's somebody that's out there that needs to come in the kingdom of God. And so you're praying that, and you're just speaking that over there, Lord. And you say, well, how often should I pray that over them? Daily. I just wanted to look at it again to make sure. Every day, until they've confessed Jesus is Lord, don't quit. Well, I prayed for them in 1983. I gave it to the Lord, and I left it there. Well, some things you need to pick back up. Amen? The Bible says because the widow's continual coming, the judge said, I don't fear God nor man, but because she keeps asking, I'm going to grant her request. And he goes on to say, how much more will your Father hear those who ask him? All right? So you're praying this. You're speaking this over their lives on a daily basis. The third thing that we're to pray over is our church, okay? I believe that as Christians, first of all, I believe every Christian ought to have a church home, okay? I just believe the Scripture bears that out. But I believe that we need to be praying over our church. And the first thing that I want to encourage you to pray over is pray over your pastor. Amen. You say, that sounds kind of selfish. It is. I really want you to pray over me. Or I want you to pray over, if you're watching at one of the campuses, pray over your campus pastor. Pray over the pastoral staff. You know what? There are a lot of things that we face on a daily basis that we don't know what to do. I had a pastoral couple come this week to meet with Sherry and I, and they were asking us how, you know, all these things came about. And he's a pastor. He's a seasoned pastor, been pastoring for years. And he was talking to him, and he said, now, when you started in ministry, did you have all of this laid out? Did you have some master plan? I wanted to say, oh, yes, let me just tell you, back, you know, in 1984, I had laid, but it would have been a lie. It's all been by just doing what God said in the moment that he says it, and then he blesses it. All right? So you need to pray for your past. And here's one of the first things I want to tell you to pray for us. Pray for God to anoint us and direct us. All right? It's wonderful to have good content. It's great, to exegete the scripture right and all those things. But the Bible says it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. In other words, that bondage that's in your life is not going to be broken unless the man or woman of God who's preaching to you is anointed. All right? So I want to be anointed. In fact, I ask God, and give me a little liberty here, I ask God to give me a double portion anointing. All right? Because here's why. I don't want to preach to you and use up all the anointing. I always want to have more than enough. For whatever it is I'm going to face, I want to have more than enough. So you pray for your past. You say, well, I just question some of those decisions that our pastor makes. So do I. So that's the next thing I want you to pray for. Pray for wisdom. Pray that we will be a channel of the Holy Spirit. Pray that we're like Solomon who said, Lord, I could ask for a lot of things, but here's what I ask for. Give me wisdom. And then a little bit later he said, when I get wisdom, he said, also give me understanding. All right? Look, let me say something to you. There are no perfect pastors. You know why? Because there are no perfect saints. You all right? People say, I'm looking for the perfect church, and I've said for years, if you ever find it, don't go. Because you'll mess it up. Stay away. There aren't any perfect churches. You're gonna come here and you're gonna see stuff here and you're going, why did they? I don't like. Just pray for us. I wonder what would happen if instead of complaining about the pastoral leadership, the church prayed. Oh, help me, Jesus. Okay? We're imperfect human beings. We don't always do the right thing. But we try. But we need your prayers. Also, pray for the leadership of the churches, okay? Pray for those who are in leadership of any level, whether that's leading an iServe team or leading a Connect group or any kind of ministry, a deacon, whatever they are, teacher, that they're in leadership, we pray for them. And pray for specific people and their needs, okay? In other words, if you're serving in a ministry, pray for those who work alongside of you and those who give direction to that ministry. And let me say this to you. If you're not in a ministry, we need you. Always gets quiet when pastor does that. We need you. Listen, a church cannot function at any higher level than the workers who will work in the house. Wow, I want our church to grow. I want our church to do this. We need you to help us to get to where we need to be. So we need to pray. Pray that God will use those people. Pray that God will help the church to become what it is that God intends for it to be. Every church has a different thing and a different direction. In fact, I want to talk about that. You need to pray for the church family, okay? We pray for the body, all right? We pray for the church. You say, well, I don't know hardly anybody that goes there. That's okay. Just pray for the person who sits three rows in front of you. Right? Lord, I don't know what their need was, but I sat behind them this past week. I just pray you'd bless them. All right? And here's some things I want you to pray. You ready? If you don't have anything to pray for, I will give you some things to pray about. All right? Pray, first of all, for the faithfulness of the people. The people will be faithful. Listen, I'm a baby boomer, and those of you who have come along after me, there was a generation before me that if they said they were going to be there, they were going to be there. Now, baby boomers, we got a little bit of that, but we don't have a lot of it. But as it keeps moving, we get less and less of it. All right? If my parents or grandparents said, this is our church, if the doors were open, y'all all right? They were faithful. They didn't just come when they felt like it. Oh, here pastor's going meddling. They didn't just come when it was convenient. They didn't just show up when they felt like showing up. They came because they were faithful. God, give us that kind of faithfulness to the things of God and to the house of God again. Amen. Secondly, pray that people be faithful to the vision. Every church has a vision. Did you know that? Every church has a vision. Whether they know it or not, every church has a vision. And what we can't do is have everybody bring in their vision into the house, because more than one vision is division. Let me prove it and I'll move on, because you're looking at me in that tone of voice. Some people want our praise and worship time to be like an hour and a half. Man, we just getting, we went to a church and man, they praised and worshiped for an hour. That's what we need to do. We need to praise and worship. We need to have an hour and a half. I'm going home. I'm tired. You do that every week. I'm tired. I'm sorry. That's me. I'm not. You got to give me some Starbucks or something about halfway through, because I'm out, okay? Somebody else says, we don't need an hour and a half of worship. We need 3 minutes of worship. Somebody else says, I don't like those drums. I'm wearing Adam's department out today. Somebody else says, we don't need an organ. Somebody else says, we need a B3 Hammond organ with a big Leslie that goes woo, woo, so we know when to shout. And all of a sudden, everybody's vision comes into the house, and we've got pandemonium is what we've got. What we've got to do is say, that may be what I like, but I'm going to join with the vision of the church, and I'm going to stay faithful to the anointing of the house, and I'm going to see God do powerful things through this house that He has called me to be a part of. Amen? Come on. The last part of this one is, let's pray for the harvest. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into the harvest. The Scripture also says that no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draws them. So here's what we want to pray at this point. I'm going to be quick with this because I need to wrap it up. But we want to pray that the Holy Spirit would draw people, all right? That there would be a drawing in of the harvest into the house of God. All right, but the second thing that we want to pray for, we want to pray the Lord's request, and that is we want to pray that there would be laborers into the harvest field, okay? That God is sending out laborers on a daily basis, and that the harvest is coming. Here's what Jesus said about the harvest, and we'll move on. Jesus said, the harvest is ready to be reaped. But He said, the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. So when I pray that, I'm just saying, God, today I'm just believing that You're going to draw people, that You're going to bring people to Love and Truth churches, that You're going to bring people into contact with members from this house. They're going to tell them about Jesus. Their lives are going to be transformed. Lord, when they walk through the doors, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit's going to minister to them. They're going to give their life to You, and their lives are going to be changed for eternity. Amen. That's what we're to pray. The fourth thing that we pray is that we pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done over our nation. Okay? Over our nation. And when we pray that, we need to pray over our city, over our state, and national, here we go, political leaders. I have never known when to keep my mouth shut. So here we go. The problem with the church in America is we think every 4 years we are electing a national pastor. You're not, so cut it out. You're electing a president, not a pastor. They are not the spiritual leader of our nation. And we want to think that the answer is going to come from Washington. And we say, if we can just get the right Republican in, or if we can just get the right Democrat in, or if we can just get this person in, or that, it's going to change our nation. No, no, no. Here's what the Bible says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, whoa, you're clapping, but you're going to miss it, and turn from their wicked ways, not the world, the church, then I'll hear from heaven and then I'll heal their land. If we want to see America turned around, listen, I'm going to tell you, you're supposed to pray. It doesn't matter if Donald Trump gets elected or Hillary Clinton gets elected or somebody we don't even know gets elected. The Bible says you're to pray for them. Amen? I mean, I'm just going to tell you, there have been a lot of decisions that President Obama has made that I have not liked. I'm just going to tell you. It may I can tell it bound some of your spirits. There are things that I think he has done that do not line up with the Word of God that I have not liked. But I still am supposed to pray for him. Right? To make you feel better, those of you who have bound your spirit, there are things George Bush did that I didn't like. There are things Bill Clinton did that I didn't like. I mean, we keep going back. There are things Ronald Reagan did I didn't like. There are things Jimmy Carter did I sure didn't like. But we have got, as the church, we have got to quit looking to the national media and the national political arena to believe for revival. Revival comes when the church of the living God does what God has called us to do. Now, we're supposed to vote. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to, I'm all for that. Don't misunderstand me. I don't think you ought to stay at home because you don't like either one of them, because I don't like either one of them. Again, I don't know when to stop. I'm not thrilled with either one of them, but I'm going to vote. Okay? But I'm not looking to them to change the nation. The church changes the nation. All right? We're also to pray for our spiritual leaders. Pastor Gordon Banks, who was here with us this past Wednesday night, talked to us about that we don't have a spiritual leader in America anymore, and we don't. Billy Graham used to be. Think about it. Those of you who are a few years, like me, got a few years on you, you remember when Billy Graham would speak and this nation would listen. Amen? We don't have that now. We need to pray that God would raise up spiritual men and women who can once again speak into our nation and influence it the way that they need to. And we also need to pray for revival. We need a revival. Amen. Amen. America needs revival. I'm not talking about a series of, you know, we used back in the day, we had spring and summer revival. And all that was is wearing the saints of the Most High out. Right? Because you knew you were supposed to go to church every night and, you know, all the stuff you did. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about a spiritual awakening in America. We need to pray. And the only way that's going to happen is for the church to declare it and to establish it. We need to ask the Spirit of God to implement your priorities. You've prayed about your priorities and to help you live them out. Because watch this. One person at a time changes the world. Did you hear me? One person. We're looking for masses, and God says, no, I use one at a time. I use a little slave girl whose name is Esther, and I promote her to the palace, and she changes a nation. I use a little shepherd boy that his own daddy forgets about, and he changes the nation. What would happen today if some of us would say every day, without fail, we're going to establish the kingdom of God in our lives, our family, our churches, and our nation? What would begin to happen? I think revival would begin. Wouldn't it be great if revival started at your house? You say, man, the nation's having revival. Where did it start? And we start tracing it back, and whatever your address is, that's where it started. Because somebody started establishing God's presence and His priorities. There are some of you here today that I've talked about establishing the presence and the priorities of God. And the first place you've got to start is by asking Jesus Christ into your life. Because that's where it begins. It's making that decision that no longer am I going to live for myself, but I'm going to live for the kingdom of God. Amen.